So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to begin a series called Back to the Basics. Everybody just say that, Back to the Basics. And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to take a look at some of the basic doctrines and teachings of the Bible. Basic doctrines and teachings of the Bible. These are doctrines and teachings that, listen very carefully, they're essential. They're just not, I can take it or leave it. They are essential to your life. They are essential to your faith. You need to make sure you know these things, that you understand them, that you could even talk about these things in a way that other people can understand, okay? These are things that are for your good. It's very important that you know these things. Does everybody sense the passion here? I can't hear you. Yes, okay? So what I want to do today is I want to begin by, and this first one we talk about may be a couple weeks, it may be 2 or 3 weeks, but it's very important that you understand that we're going to talk about salvation. Salvation. And the reason why I want to talk about salvation, you may not know this, but salvation is the central message of the Bible. All the way from Genesis, the book of beginning, all the way to Revelation. All those 66 books, there's one central message that each one of those books touches upon, and that is the message of salvation. It's all about salvation. So this is why I want to talk about it, because there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to salvation. There's a lot of misunderstanding. So what I want to do for the next couple of weeks is I want to bring clarity, and I want to bring understanding through our brief time together about salvation, okay? So let's begin. By the way, I've been praying for you all week. There's a parable in the Bible where it talks about the sower went out to sow, meaning he went out and he sowed the word of God. And it says it fell upon certain types of soil. Soil represents what? Your heart. So what I've been praying for all week is, Lord, help me to throw the seed with accuracy. But Lord, I pray also that you would help that seed to fall upon good soil. And the Bible says good soil is soil that is fertile. And when that seed meets fertile soil, the Word of God says it produces a crop 40, 60, 100-fold. And that's what I want for us. Lord, I pray right now that our hearts would not be thorny, hard soil, but I pray right now through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that our hearts would be softened, that our hearts would be fertile soil, that when the seed of your Word falls into that soil, that it will be rooted and it will grow and it will produce a crop of 40, 60, 100-fold, a crop that would be pleasing unto you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. By the way, I'm so glad that you're here to hear this message, Basic Salvation. Let's begin our journey today, and I hope you're taking notes. If you're comfortable doing that, there's pieces of paper in the pew rack in front of you. We're going to ask a lot of questions, and I'll answer the questions. But that's my method today, is ask questions, answer questions. Ask questions, answer questions. So question number one is, what is salvation? So what I do when in my preparation, I know kind of the topic that I'm going to talk about. Hopefully the earlier in the week, the better. That solves a lot of stress for me to know what we're going to talk about. So I knew right away a couple weeks ago I was going to be talking about salvation. So what I do is I download a lot of articles. And I usually go to people that I know that I can trust, that they have good doctrine. So I download article after article after article, and then I take a full day to read all those articles, highlighting certain things, and then I have little notepads where I write down the things that I want to share with you. Sometimes it's like overwhelming how much stuff appears on those notepads, but one of the things I did this week is I started studying salvation. What is salvation? What is salvation? And what I want to do for the next couple minutes is I want to share with you some of the basic, everybody just think of that, basic definitions of salvation. Three basic definitions of salvation. Number one, to help, to save, to rescue, to deliver, and I love this, to set free. That's salvation. By the way, those are all positive words. By the way, every single definition of salvation I read this week had rescue and deliver in the definition. Rescue and deliver in the definition. Number two, salvation, and I love this, salvation is deliverance from danger or suffering. Salvation is deliverance from danger or suffering. Then look at the second part of the definition. The word carries the idea of victory. I don't know about you, but what I see there is salvation is a progressive word. We start in a place where there's danger and suffering, but through this act of salvation, we now begin to experience victory. I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of danger. I'm really not a big fan of suffering at all, but I am a big, big fan of victory. Is anybody with me? I love victory. Victory. The third definition of salvation is this: rescue or deliverance. There's our two friends again, rescue and deliverance. Listen to this: from any intolerable situation or danger or great danger. I want to read that first part again. Rescue or deliverance from any intolerable situation or great danger, but check this out, from which a person is unable to save themselves. Did you catch the last part? They're in this danger and they're in a position where they're unable. Say that word in your mind, unable to save themselves, meaning they are dependent upon someone else to do the rescuing. They're dependent upon someone else to do the delivering. Mark, can we show that next picture? That's the way I see it. I see this guy on a mountain. His hands are holding on for dear life. He's getting weaker and weaker, and unless somebody else shows up, how many people know he's doomed? That's the definition of salvation, meaning they're unable to save themselves. So I hope these three basic definitions of salvation give you a better understanding of what it is. Always remember deliverance. Always remember rescue. Always remember that you're in a situation where you're unable to help yourself. So the second question of the morning is this: what do we need to be saved from? What do we need to be saved from? When I say we, I'm talking about every single one of us here today. I'm talking about every single 6.8 billion people that walk the earth today. We all have this in common, and that is that we need to be saved from something. We need to be rescued. We need to be delivered from something that we can't pull off on our own. Okay? So what is it that you and I need to be saved from? Here's the answer: wrath. Wrath. Or you could say it this way: God's judgment of sin. We need to be saved from God's judgment of sin. I hope you understand that when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, all the way back in the book of Genesis, God gave them a commandment: you can eat from any tree. All these trees are for your benefit. Enjoy them, but there's one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's from that one tree that you are not to eat from, okay? We know the story. The enemy comes in the form of a serpent and begins to have a conversation with Adam and Eve and begins to lie to them. By the way, the enemy's a liar. He'll tell you lies that you'll think, wow, is that the truth? No, it's a lie. You need to know the word of God, by the way. Amen? And he begins to tempt them, and they give in, and they pick the fruit. We see it today as an apple. But they pick the fruit, and they take a bite out of that fruit. It's at that moment there's a catastrophe that enters the human race. It's called sin. See, what we need to understand is when they disobeyed God and they ate of the forbidden fruit, not only did they sin, but I want to let you know that sin not only impacted them, but it impacted the whole entire human race. All the people that would ever walk the face of the earth, that sin impacted them, okay? Look at this verse. Write this down. Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, everybody say these four words together: sin entered the world. When Adam took a bite of that apple, sin entered the whole world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, to me, to you, for everyone sinned. So here's the deal. Sin, in the Bible, sin, we'll see, needs to be punished. There needs to be a punishment for sin. You know, for years I've asked the question, well, why God, why couldn't you just turn away and act like it never happened? Or God, why can't you just ignore that one act? Why can't you just ignore sin? Can't you just do that? And by the way, you could do we could do week after week of sermons about that issue. Well, why can't God just, or can't God just turn away from it? Can't God just ignore it? And I'm just going to give you the Mike Bechtel paraphrase of the answer. It's no. God just can't ignore and turn away from the sin like it never happened. And here's why. Because God's character, God's nature is that he's what? Perfect and holy. He's perfect and holy. He can't even look upon sin. It's so unlike him. He can't ignore it, but it must be, listen to this, it's got to be dealt with. I hope we all understand that. I hope we get a revelation that sin needs to be dealt with. So what we need is we need to be what? Rescued. We need to be delivered. We need to be what? Saved from our sin. So what do we need to be saved from? Everybody say sin. Sin. Third question. Don't answer this question out loud because I had the answer to this question wrong for years in my life. Who does the saving? Don't answer that out loud. Who does the saving? You know, for years, like I just said, I answered this question in my mind incorrectly. I used to answer the question by saying this: Jesus does the saving. Jesus does the saving. And that, hear me out. The correct biblical answer is this: God does the saving. Don't worry, we're going to get to the rest of the equation here. So some of you are like, God does the saving. Check out 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, for God saved us. Everybody say those four words together. For God saved us. God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it. That's a message we're going to hear a lot today. Not because you deserve it, but because it was his plan from the beginning of time. So God, the Bible actually calls him the author of salvation. God does the saving. Which leads me to the next question, which a lot of you will get relief from this question. How does God save? How does God save? Let's look at the next slide. God offers salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. God offers salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. By the way, for all those Die-Wool Assembly of God people, that is the exact wording of our fundamental truth number 5. God offers salvation. God offers salvation through Jesus Christ. So God has rescued us. He's offered the rescue. He's helped us in a way that we couldn't help ourselves. By what? By his son, Jesus Christ. Check out the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 3, verse, not 16, but the next verse, 17. Jesus says this: God sent his son into the world not to judge the world. Can everybody say, God didn't send Jesus, his son, into the world to judge the world. I think a lot of people in our culture today say, well, it's all about, oh, God, it's God's judging and all this stuff. And Jesus say, hey, God didn't send me into the world to judge the world. But everybody, let's read the rest of this together. But to save the world through him. God sent Jesus Christ not to judge people. God sent Jesus Christ into the world to save you and me through Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? Acts 4:12, it says, there is salvation in no one else, referring to Jesus Christ. There's salvation in no one else. I'd like to add this, there's salvation in nothing else. There's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other name, and the name is what? Everybody together, Jesus. Jesus. Check this out. From the very beginning of the story of Jesus, the angel appears to Gabriel, appears to Joseph, and talks about the baby that would be born to Mary. Look at the verse. It says, and she will have a son, and you are to name him. Everybody say that name together. Jesus. By the way, do you know what that is? That's the Hebrew name for Joshua. By the way, the name Joshua simply means salvation. I love how the Bible all works together. There's no contradictions. It's a masterpiece. Let me finish reading the verse, if I can find it. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he, this baby that you're going to give birth to, he will save, deliver, rescue his people from what? From their sins. From their sins. From their sins. Here's the most important question of the morning. How do we receive rescue, deliverance? How do we receive salvation? The answer is in a beautiful couple verses in Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you know these verses. Ephesians 2, write this down, verses 8 and 9. Paul's writing to a church, a big church in the city of Ephesus. He's reminding them of all the things that Jesus did for them. Let's pick it up in verse 8. This is how we receive salvation. God saved you by his grace. Everybody just say that beautiful word together, grace. Grace. God saved you by his grace. His grace. By the way, we could say that's biblical, or that's saving grace. God saved you by his grace when you believed. God saved you by his grace. He rescued you from his grave, or he rescued you, he delivered you, he helped you when you couldn't help yourself from this grave danger, this intolerable situation. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Check out the rest of the verse. And you can't take credit for this. Here's why. It's a gift from God. I know I do this a lot, but I want you to just do it one more time. Repeat after me these words. I can't take credit for salvation. Thank you for about 40% of you. Let's engage 100%. I can't take credit for salvation.
I can't take credit for salvation.
It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Check out verse 9. Salvation's not a reward for the good things we've done. It's not a reward of church attendance. I grew up in church. I went to catechism. Oh, I went to confirmation. I'm a nice person. Let me read again. Salvation's not a reward for the good things you have done. So none of us can boast about it. A couple observations in closing here this morning. Number one, we're saved by grace. Do you know what grace is? You've probably heard it 1,000 times. Grace is this undeserved favor. It's undeserved love. It's undeserved kindness that God shows towards us. The key word is this, undeserved. I don't know about you, but I feel like if I'm going to get something, I got to deserve it. So I got to jump through the hoops. I got to dot the I's. I got to cross the T. Why? That's my Western way of thinking. That's how I was brought up. If you want something, you got to do something for it. And if you do something for it, you deserve it. But I want to let you know that we're saved by grace. It's all about God's undeserved favor, his undeserved love, his undeserved kindness. Grace is also what we could call a multifaceted gift, okay? It's a gift that we get even though we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. By the way, can I stop real quick because something just came to my mind. A lot of people will come up to me and say, how are you doing today? And I'll give this answer, better than I deserve. And you know what I hear a lot of times? People say, no, you're a good person. Biblically, I don't deserve what I have in salvation. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? I'm a sinner. I'm separated from a holy God. God saved me by sending his son. It's much better than I deserve. I don't get God's judgment. I don't get God's wrath. You know what I get? I get life. I get salvation. I get God's eternal life in his presence. You know what? Everybody right now on the count of three, ask me how I'm doing. 1, 2, 3. Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me by his grace. First of all, he has withheld his judgment. He's withheld his punishment that I deserve because of sin. He's withheld that from my life. Second, he has granted me with the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. And I can't earn these things. It's just because of who God is. It's just because of his grace. It's amazing what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen, Mike. I'm hearing you. It's all good, okay? So we need to look at, it says, we are saved by grace. The second part is we experience grace when we believe, when we believe. By the way, this is the only condition or requirement of receiving God's free gift, belief. And I want to let you know, belief is much more than intellectual acknowledgement. Oh, I believe that in my head. I believe. Yeah, I believe. But I want to let you know, it's an act of response. It's an act of trust from our heart, the heart of a person who truly desires to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay? So it's by grace that were received. It's by grace. We receive that grace by believing. So the question is, people say, well, what am I to believe? And here we go. Last verse of this morning, I promise you. Last verse. Everybody read this. Follow along. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, I pass unto you what was most important. I love the word choice there, most important. This is more important than the Ryder Cup. It's more important than going to church every Sunday. I pass unto you what was most important, and it has also been passed unto me. He said, Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. So in these two short verses, we see three things that we need to believe concerning Christ. First of all, we need to believe that Jesus died for our sins. That's what you need to believe first and foremost, that Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth in the form of a baby, lived a sinless life for 33 years, went to the cross, gave his life on the cross, his blood was pouring out. Jesus came to earth for one reason and one reason alone, and that is this, or should I say the primary reason, and that is this. He came to earth to go to the cross. He came to the earth to die for your sins. That sin that you needed relief from, that sin that you need rescued from, that sin that you need deliverance from, that sin that you can't get yourself out of because it's way beyond anything you can do, you know what? That's why Jesus came. Jesus is the hands when you're on the mountain and you're ready to slip. He's the hand that's reaching over the side of the mountain to rescue you. It's his hand because it's through his death he died for your sins. He died for the thing that separates you from a holy God. He died for our sins, okay? Even though he never committed sin, he was the perfect sacrifice to qualify for our sins. Number two, he was buried. That's the confirmation that he truly died, because there was a lot of skeptics out there saying Jesus never died. He just passed out. The cool air of the tomb resuscitated him. He never died. I want to let you know Jesus was dead. He was dead. And then number three, we need to understand this. We need to believe that he was raised from the dead. The first and only was raised from the dead, which was a confirmation of his power and his authority to give us new life. Okay? And this is what we are to believe. And when we believe these things about Jesus, we believe that he's the Savior. It's at that moment we receive the grace of God. Amen? We receive the grace of God. So let me ask you a couple questions, and these are our closing questions this morning. Have you ever stopped to consider your need for salvation? I'm amazed. I'm amazed how a majority of people don't even take this into consideration. And I think it's because we get so caught up in life. We live as though this life is all there is. We live for the American dream. But have you ever stopped to consider that you need salvation? You need saving. Have you stopped to realize that, you know what, you need rescued from a great danger, eternal danger? You need to be rescued from a situation where you're unable to save yourself. It's not by works. Have you ever had a revelation from God that you're without hope, dead in your trespasses and sin? You need a Savior. Question two, have you done something about it? Yeah, that's why I go to church every week. That I'm available. Yeah, that's why I do nice things for other people. No, have you repented of your sins? That thing that separates you from a holy God, have you repented of your sins and placed your belief, your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the only one who God has chosen to deliver you from your sins through his Son, Jesus? And see, really, the whole motive of this message came out of a conversation that I had with a person. And basically the question was asked, tell me about your salvation experience. And the person responded, well, I grew up in church. I grew up a Lutheran. I married a Christian guy. And when that conversation was over, my heart was heavy. And my heart is heavy because so many people have a misunderstanding of what the Scripture says. If I were to ask you, tell me about your salvation experience, what would you say? I'm a member of this church, that church. What would you say? I hope your answer would be, let me tell you about my salvation experience. I came to an understanding that I was a sinner and that my sin was very offensive and separated me from God. And it was at that moment that I had this hope, or I had this revelation, that my only rescue was through Jesus Christ. And it was at that moment that I confessed of my sins, I repented of my sins, and told God how sorry I was for the sin of my life, and I repented of my sin, and I put my faith in Christ, because only through Christ, only through the work of the cross, is there salvation for my sin. And now I've been on a journey with Jesus since then, where I'm growing and I'm learning more about Him and I'm getting more and more discovery and revelation. Now it's not just a distant thing. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. I'm in a relationship now with Jesus Christ. I'm in a relationship now with Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I want us as a people at this church, I want to do my best, and I want to take maybe difficult things and try to make them as simple as I possibly can. Because I want every one of you one day to be able to stand before the Lord, because it says in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man to die, and then after death comes judgment. My job as a pastor is weighty, very weighty. And that is that I have a responsibility to tell you the biblical truth in a culture that doesn't really care about biblical truth. I have a mandate on my life that I'm almost going to give an account for you guys. And my desire is that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior of your life.